Star Market Celtics Tonight continues from TD Garden, from Orlando, from wherever you are. That's where Star Market Celtics Tonight continues. Our conversation with the head coach, brought to you by the Star Market Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. You've been put in a position the last 2 days, the last 2 weeks, the last 4 weeks, the last 4 months in many ways to basically be asked questions to which control the controllables is the answer to so many of these questions. And it kind of made me wonder over the last day after hearing it 100 times, what is the origin of that for you? It's obviously, it traces back a long ways and it's in a lot of motivational things. Where did you first come across control the controllables?
I think that's my time at Butler. I would say, you know, I don't remember, you know, you're always told that your attitude can control your circumstances. And I think growing up, I was always told that, but I don't remember as a player necessarily focusing on that as much. I remember the phrase, do your job, you know, all those types of things. But, you know, the first time that I really was introduced to, you know, we all have a specific role to play on every possession and we control what we do on that possession, let alone off the court and everything else, was at Butler.
You mentioned the other day, almost unsolicited, that you slept fine after game six. How did you sleep last night? Is that a controllable?
Great. Yeah, great. I mean, listen, there's, I think being through this enough, I've learned that that's important. You know, I've learned that, you know, I've coached some games tired in my life, but, you know, I think it's really important to be alert and to prioritize your own health and make sure that you take care of yourself. And, you know, there's only so much you can control. And you do whatever you can control, you know, back to your first line, like control everything that you can and prepare the right way, but also make sure that you're fresh and clear and ready to roll.
Is that a specific memory and something that you, like I imagine many coaches and many people in your profession have had to learn, where you just, you stay up, either you can't sleep or your mind is working and you're trying to come up with an edge or do whatever it is you do. And then the next day in the big game, whatever it happens to be, you're tired and you think to yourself, you know what, maybe I didn't handle that right.
Well, sometimes it's out of your control, because as you know, sometimes when you're trying to sleep, you wake up thinking all the time, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Somebody pulls a fire alarm, whatever, you know, there's a number of reasons why you're awake now all of a sudden. But I just think overall rest is really important. And we talk about it all the time with our team. Our team's done a good job of taking care of their bodies since that game the other night. You know, we've all really tried to prioritize. We had late meetings the last 2 days. You know, it was important for us all to feel really good coming in tonight. Got a heck of a challenge tonight. Should be fun.
And I imagine the 51 minutes here and the 53 minutes there, the reason, one of the reasons that you're so meticulously careful in December and on the second week of January when you're traveling, whatever, is so when you have a game six that goes into double overtime, you can play guys 51 minutes.
Yeah, and I was laughing earlier today saying everybody asked for so many reviews that you have like 10 extra minutes a game, because people are always going and looking at plays that, you know, whether it's players or coaches or whatever, are asking to review. So you add that on top of the typical long TV timeouts. And when you add in a full day off in between, feel pretty good. Feel like you can go a little bit. So, you know, that's something that we've taken into consideration, especially here. It just feels like there's even more of those now than before.
Which makes me wonder, and I know on it's sort of by design we're meandering away from this monstrous Game 7 ahead, because what's really left to say about the series? But when you say that, it makes me think of the discussion that has started to escalate a little bit, and you've been involved with it down there, which is that the quality of these games and the intensity have obviously been very high. We discussed they probably would have been high no matter what, but is there a discussion at a later time to be had about travel and about being in the same place at the same time, you know, for all these games, that that's not a coincidence that the games have been so good?
Everything I've heard in the past is it's not great from a marketing standpoint to play two straight home games against the same team. But from a travel, rest, recovery, mental health, physical health, and everything else standpoint, yeah, it makes total sense. And I think that the NBA should take a deep dive into schedules in the future, recognize that the level of play is what it is for a number of reasons. Number one is players are ridiculous. But number two is that they're you know, they're in one place. They're not traveling around. We're not hopping on planes and all that stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not voting for a bubble again. What I am saying is there's no reason to play the Lakers and Clippers on two separate trips. There's no reason to travel to Texas three different times like we have each of the past few years. Like, let's have a little bit more, like, you know, let's plan a little bit more based not on exactly TV and those type of things, but more so health, rest, and maximize your product. I mean, a level of play is, you know, right now, that game the other night, that's as good as it gets product-wise.
Yeah, I've felt for a while cartography is lacking a little bit in some of these schedules when they put them together. The die on these games, and you just talked about game six, they seem to get cast pretty quickly as far as fans' minds are concerned of what people remember, what they focus on. And in the last 24 hours, you've had the two-minute report, the plays that get reviewed. You talked about Nick being in the corner. But in a game with hundreds of possessions, here's my only game six question. It's almost never the one we remember. When you watched it again, and we talked about that Van Vliet run with the, you know, the three free throws and then the three, was there something else about game six that is not part of those things which have been sort of made the narrative as people remember it?
When you win, you don't look at them very closely. When you lose, you comb each one to figure out, you know, what if something would have been different and could have gone your way. So, you know, obviously there were some big plays in that game that could have gone our way that may have changed the tide of that game, but that's in the past. And, you know, we have there's no benefit in thinking about it or talking about it or focusing on it. It's learn from it and move on.
You seemed the other night and you seem tonight sort of genuinely excited to be on the stage tonight with this group.
I like this group a lot. I mean, this group has in every which way been what basketball is about. And, you know, it's a team. It pulls together. We have great role players. Everybody around our best players knows their role. They're willing to play it no matter what. You know, our best players are appreciative of that. And they bring each other along and they lift each other up. And, you know, we've been down a really good player for now 3 weeks. And, you know, our level of play has been really good. And so we're looking forward to playing as well as we can tonight, giving it everything we have and let the chips fall where they may.
That's the head coach. We've done about 600 of these over the last 7 years. And while so many of the last 6-7 weeks have been unusual, we've talked about things we've never talked about before because of the environment you're in. As we all go through this day as Americans, it occurs to me that we have never spoken before on 9/11, and we will never speak again, in particular in this environment, in 9/11. And I think everyone who has, and there's people in their lives, we know the stories. But as a result of that, we've never discussed yours. You were going into your second year, I think first full year as a true assistant coach at Butler. As that year was starting, I assume you were in Indianapolis on that day.
I was in Indianapolis. I was in Hinkle Fieldhouse. Hinkle Fieldhouse at the time, we didn't have cable television in a lot of our offices. But the one place that did was the ticket office, which was, you know, maybe 10 by 10, 10 by 15. And I'll never forget us all squeezing in there and just watching and being just devastated, horrified. Yeah, the emotions of that day I'll never forget. And I know everybody has their own story that's our age or that remembers that time. And yeah, it's certainly a day to reflect.
A day to get a lot of things done, including a Game 7. It's next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.